Sorry to put you on the bottom of Samach Yom HaShay, it's because the Gemara leads out of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Mishnah from Zavim, Shiva Drachim Bok Tchimet HaZav, Ad Shilol Nizkak L'Ziva. So there are seven ways in which we check a Zav before he reaches the point of Ziva. So just as quick background for Zavim, Zavim have three possibilities of Riyot. There's Riyah Rishona, Riyah Shniya, and Riyah Shlishit. Riyah Rishona, the first Riyah of a Zav, is equivalent or equated to a bal teri, the equivalent of a seminal omission. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether he saw it machmat ones, alo machmat ones, because it's equivalent to keri. Keri can be seen whether for ones or not for ones. It has the same din as keri, which is that it's too much erech. The person who sees ziva one time is tameh for the single day, goes to the mikvah, and then at sunset is tahor, just like someone about keri, who sees it also is only tameh erech. Then, when a Zav reaches a secondary Iyah, the secondary Iyah is going to move a Zav from simply a Bal Keri onto a Tumas Shiva. Having 7 days of Tumah, it will require, not Tumas Shiva, but it'll require, sorry, Shiva Nikiyim, it will require 7 clear days to suffer law. He'll need to count 7 days of Nikiyim until he'll become Tahor. And that requirement, and the second Mi'iyah puts him in a category of Zav. And in the category of Zav, we have a special din, which is that he has to see it, Zav Mibsaro, that it has to be from him, as a mission for him, below Machmat Onungso, but not because of external factors. And that's what our mission is discussing over here, that when, before the Zav reaches this second level, meaning the second Mi'iyah, which will take him from being simply a Balkari into a level of a Zav that will require Shiva Nikiyim, then that Zav we are building to make sure, ensure that whatever Riyah he saw was Mibsaro below Mahmat Onso. And that's what these Bidikot are. There's an additional Riyah for a Zav, which is a third Riyah, the possibility that he sees an emission a third time. When a Zav sees an emission the third time, then he becomes a Zav not only requiring Shiva Nikiyim, but also requiring a Korban to bring on the eighth day after his Shiva Nikim. But that third Re'iyah, we're going to see in the Mishnah in a second, there is no Bedika. There is no Bedika because then, as the Mishnah states, the Zachar Unikeva, that the male Zav is compared to a Nikeva, to the woman Zava. And just like a woman Zava, right, it doesn't matter her emission, her sighting, it doesn't matter how it happened or why it happened. So too, for the third setting of the Zav, that we no longer are Bodik, we no longer check anymore to see what the what is the conditions under which this emission took place. So now when we talk about over here, we're talking about the second emission, a second sighting, a second emission, we check for these items. What are the items that we check for? B'ma'achal. So the expression of ma'achal is ribui ma'achal, right? He ate a lot, right? U'b'mishteh, and drinking. Whether it's either he drank a lot or he drank a lot of alcohol, whatever it is, obe masa, carry something heavy, ube kfitsa, right, or jumping, heavy duty jumping, ube choli, or sickness. So all of these five are, as the Mishnah seems to indicate, are types of activities that bring about emissions. Meaning that they bring about such emissions, and since they bring about an emission, we're going to, since this person has a cheskas tara, he's not a zav yet, even though he's already a balkari or he's already a zav a riyah rishona, but since he hasn't become a full-fledged zav, we're going to assume that one of these items caused the emission, and then he will no longer be a full-fledged zav. Why? Because he needs machmat b'saro v'lo machmat onso. It has to come, the emission has to be a natural emission and not because of an external factor.
Now, the nafkamina between the Shteirios and Zav Gadola and Zav Gadol, I guess, would be Tumas Hesed.
Korban. Korban is
Tumas Hesed and the Korban.
The Korban is the big difference between them. And the Korban, but also whether they're Cheskas Tuma. That's a big difference between them, whether they have a Cheskas Tuma or not, and that will determine whether we even check to see. Before a second Riyah, we check and see what caused the emission. By the third Riyah, we don't check. If you have a Riyah, we automatically assume that it's a third emission, and then you will become a Zav with Shlosh Bal Shlosh Riyot without any checking. Right now, the next two items, Ubi Mare, Ubi Hirhur. So now, with Mare, the Shonen brings down two different interpretations of what Mare is. Mare is either he saw a woman, an attractive woman, or Bimare is a possibility here, Tosfos brings down, and others in Zabin bring down that he saw a man and a woman cohabitating. Because there, Tosfos points out is that there is a other opinion in that Mishnah. Later on in that Mishnah, there's Rabbi Yehuda who says that even if you see animals cohabitating, that that is sufficient. And the next thing is Ubihir Hur, someone who had thoughts about a woman or thoughts, some sort of thoughts, then those also can cause an emission. What exactly the Mare and Hir Hur do for you is, it seems to be, that those types of thoughts or sightings would cause a seminal emission, a carry emission, and not a ziba emission. So why are they a tour for ziba? So we're going to see today, I think you have to say that there's a possibility that someone was already a zab or had a zab emission, and then he sees the Balkari, then he has a seminal mission. The Gemara assumes that there's a tzitzuche ziva. When he has a seminal mission after that, that it also pushes out leftover ziv admissions, right? Or zav admissions. And therefore, he would also have a quote-unquote zav emission at the same time. That's one possibility. The other possibility is, and we'll see this in the Gemara, that when someone sees Kari, then that gives him a 24-hour tour from any other emission that he sees. He sees he's a Balkari, and then he sees Ziv. We assume that that is because of the Balkari, because of the Kari that caused the emission, and it's not a Zav emission. We'll see that in the Gemara today. Or if a Shifa Zera and a Zav are mixed together, then there's a possibility that that's not Matame also. So all these three possibilities is that Kari can have an impact on Zav, not because of Kari itself, but because of Kari's influence. Right, the seminal emission is influence on the zav. It will change the status of the emission that you see as a zav. And because of that, if we figure out that you were a Balkari, or you had something that drove this, that might poter you or cause the zav emission that you have not to be efficacious or problematic.
If you don't examine the first emission, you should have a Balkari. If he's actually a Balkari, then it's...
He gets a 24-hour. Yeah.
And the second amendment, the second mission would not.
Right. We're gonna see that today later in the talk, but yes, that is the case. All right. Okay. Now once mission is kafuziba, once he's already had two emissions, right? Then in book kinoto, we don't check anymore, because we assume in the third emission there's nothing to talk about. From the Gemara, West Manahani Mili. Where do we know this from? Also, uspeko v'shichvat zaro tmeim. Alright, so if once he has two emissions already, if the third emission comes mionis, or misafik, or because of shechwat zera, tmeim. They're all tamei, they're all considered a third emission, shereglaim the devar, because we have evidence. There is evidence, or overwhelming, right, evidence that he already is in the parsha of zav, and that we can assume that the third emission is also a emission of zav. What onis safik and shechwat zera are is the discussion of the Gemara today. Alright, now, Makif Kabeiros is a separate case. We're not really going to discuss this, but it's brought down here because we've just listed out all these Mishnayos, which are Raglayim L'Davar. Makif Kabeiros, Vamdu Alimita, someone else's his friend, and that the hit was severe enough that he could die from this, or that he is on his deathbed from the blow. Bakel, but afterwards he gets better, in that he's able to, or he starts the process of recovery from this blow. Afterwards he then, right, falls back or reverses his progress, and now umes, and then dies in the end. So then he is chayav. Right, that's the Tanakham assumes that he's chayav because the original hit is what caused him to die, and therefore the one who hit him is now chayav mita. Rabbi Nechemi Omer patur. Shirak line the devar. Rabbi Nechemi says you're patur. Why are you patur? Because he got healthier in the interim. The fact that he got healthier in the interim shows you that he could have recovered from the blow. Then that he got sick afterwards is probably from another problem or another issue that arose. So therefore, it's reglayim l'davar. The fact that he got healthy is evidence that he really didn't die from the blow. He died from an external factor, from something else. Or you can read it in Nechemi Patur, and then reglayim l'davar can go on the chayav aspect of the Mishnah, right? He is chayav, shoglam the davar. The fact that he never really got fully better from the blow right, is evidence that when he dies from the original blow. Because he, even though he got slightly better, he never fully recovered. The fact that he never fully recovered is evidence that the original blow is what caused his death. So the Raglayim Devar can either be referencing the Tanakhama's position or the position of Rabbi Nechemiah. Now the Gemara asks, "Mina hani milik? How do we know that the third bi'iyah, right, Mishnisca Kutuma, we don't worry about it?" So it says, "Are we not to know Makra, Vazav et Zovo?" Then it says, "Vazav et Zovo, Zachar Ulene Keva." So Vazav et Zovo. So Zav is one emission. Et Zovo is a second emission. The third emission is Zachar Ulene Keva. So now, the Re'iyah Shlishit Idkash L'Nekeva. And the third emission, the Zachar, is compared to a Nekeva. So you have Zav, the first emission we know is like a Balkari. Ed Zovo, right, is the second emission. And then the Zachar Nekeva is the third emission. What's the din of a Nekeva? So Nekeva, no matter why she sees her emissions, she becomes a Nida, or she becomes a Zavag Dola. It's not a question of how it happened or why it happened, as long as it happened. Right, then she's tamei. It's the same thing by the Zav, who is a Bar Shlosh Riyot. Where it says, Ratanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, B'Shlishit Bot Kinoto, B'Revit Ein Bot Kinoto. Then no, on the third emission, we do still check. It's only on the fourth emission that we, emission that we don't check. Ella, V'Etim, Kimitligate. They argue on the term Et. Rabbi Elazar Darish Etim, Rabbi Elazar Darish Etim. Rabbi Elazar is, don't raise the word Et. Is there a button or not there? So then if you go back to the pasuk, it says Zov, Et Zovo. So Et is a ribui. So Zov, Zav, Et Zovo will be the second and third emission. So for first one, two, three. And then when is Zachar and Akiva come up? For the fourth emission. You ask me, what's going to make a difference? Who cares about a fourth emission? Once you have a third emission, you're ready to Zav, right, Lagamre, and you bring a korban. So what do you need a fourth emission for? So the fourth emission is in both teams. Once you are tamei, right? When you're doing sofer, you're zayin nikiyim. Those zayin nikiyim, if you see an emission during the zayin nikiyim, we don't ask you why. So the emission automatically wipes out. You have to restart counting the zayin nikiyim, just like by a zavag dola, right? A zachar nikeva, and keva who sees an, sees some sighting during her zayin nikiyim. We don't ask why. We say if she sees something, then she's okay. The zayin nikiyim. Same thing with the zav. So that'll be the bow. Arboriot. So machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim is, at what point does he have the, what, at what point do you become, quote unquote, cheskas tumar, do you have Raglayim Devar, that any emission that you see at this point is a Zav emission? Right, so that will happen according to Chachamim by the third emission. Everything is assumed to be Zav. And according to Rabbi Lezer, only at the fourth emission do we assume that. And it comes out of the Pasuk, because the Pasuk says, Asum et Zavo, and then Zachar Nekeva. When is Zachar compared to Nekeva? According to the Chachamim in the third emission. According to Rabbi Elazar, because of the et, it's at the point of the fourth emission. Okay, now, also Sveiko. Zamarava. So now, what is this Safik that we're talking about, or this onus that we're talking about? Zamarava says, Zamarava, lo tema Safik chaza, Safik lo chaza. Safik here is not whether he saw or did not see an emission. I mean, that's not the question at hand. Elavadai chaza, he definitely saw an emission. Safik machmat shikla zera, Safik machmat ri'iyah. Question is, what was the emission that he saw? Was it, did he see a carry emission, or did he see a zav emission? Once he's already niskak l'tumah, we automatically assume that his emission is a zav emission. We don't say or tell you it in a possibility that it was a shikwatzera emission. So if you look in the Tosus over here, he says, the first Tosus on the Yom over here says, Perushri. See that? No, that's the third line of that. Tosos Per Shriki, the Arena of Aparakam Apelet. Ziba Tipticha Be Shechvat Zera. If there's Zav emission, it has mixed in with it Shechvat Zera, Lo Satra Elo Yom Echad. Only undermined one day. Alright, Ziba Lo Pticha Be Shechvat Zera, but if you have a Zav emission without any Shechvat Zera mixed in it, Satra Shiva, it undermines seven. It undermines the 7 days. Rabba Mairi, going to Bada Batsmo. So what's the case here that Rabba's talking about? He did a bdika, and on the bdika he finds both shechvat zera and zav. So now, what do we say? Right? Do you? What is the nature of this emission that he saw? So we have evidence here that there was shechvat zera also. Question is, was the shechvat zera mixed in with the zav, or was it separate from the zav? So that's what he says in our Mishnah, Sveiko, We don't assume. We don't give you the benefit of the doubt. Once you're already nispektu tumah, once you're already have reached the point where you've had two zav emissions, you don't get the benefit of the doubt, and we assume that the third emission was a zav emission, and not a zav emission mixed up with shikla zera. Now again, going back to the step before that, then the possibility of what happened by the Mara and the Hirur, this is one of the possibilities, that he had Shechva Zera mixed up with the Ziva. If he had Shechva Zera mixed up with the Ziva, maybe that's not a pure Zav emission. Maybe that would change the status of his second emission. Right? That's why, that was one of the possibilities about why Shechva Zera has impact here on the emission. Next Gemara says, Shechva Zera Tmeya, the mic. If you're talking about for Shechvat Zera is Tamei, because when you touch it, Shechvat Zera is the Tahor. What do you have to be a Zav for to make a contact with Shechvat Zera be Metamei you? Right? El Zaro Shel Zav, right? Metamei B'masa. So the difference between Zav and a regular Shechvat Zera is that regular Shechvat Zera is Tamei B'mago. If you come into contact with it, you are Tamei. And so that doesn't matter if you're a Zav or not a Zav. Any Shechvat Zera has the status that Mago is Metamei. Whereas, when it comes to the Shechvat Zera of a Zav, that is not only Metamei B'mago, it's also Metamei B'maso. Even B'maso, even with carrying it. If you didn't come into contact with it, but carried it, you'd also be Tamei. So, Manchmei Le'adamar Shechvat Zera Shel Zav Metamei B'maso. Who's the author of such a position that someone who does not come into contact with Shechvat Zera, but simply carries the Shechvat Zera, if you are a Zav, that is Metamei you? Even the high Tanos, let's suggest that this Tan is the author of that position, the Tanya, Rabbi says that the Shechvat Zera of a Zav does not Metamei B'masa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Metamei B'masa, L'kishi Efshar La, V'lo Tzichtzuchei Tziva. He says that it is Metamei B'masa, because the emission, the seminal emission, cannot come without any residual drops or little drops of Zav that come out with it. So since the mixed in with the Shechvat Zera are drops of Zav or Ziva, therefore it is also Metamei B'Ziva. Again, this goes back to our Mishnah when I was explaining why Shechvat Zera possibly could be a problem in the Mishnah, is if you believe that any Shechvat Zera but Ela B'Sips to Ziva, then the possibility of Shechvat Zera coming out and being part of the Zav emission, right, could be possible in the second emission. Second sighting could be a Zav sighting, but because you had Shechvat Zera involved with it, we say that that was the cause of the Ziva coming out and not the Ziva by itself. Alright, now, Mar says, but Afilu, so you want to suggest Rabbi Yeshua is the author of this position, that Shechvat Zera is Metamei B'maso. Mar says, well, Afilu Rabbi Yeshua lo amar Rabbi Yeshua tzuchei Ziva, aval be'enei lo. Meaning that he only said the reason that Shechvat Zera is Metamei B'maso is because there's Ziva mixed in with it. But if it was Shechvat Zera by itself, he doesn't agree that it's Metamei B'maso. So now you want to suggest that our Mishnah says, what does Shechvat Zera Tmeya mean? It means that it's Metamei B'maso. Where's the Tana that has such a position? We don't have a Tana that supports such a position that Shechvat Zera is Metamei B'maso by itself once you are a Zav. So Rabbi suggests a different explanation as to what it means in our Mishnah that Shechvat Zera is Tamei. That we're not Tola in Shechvat Zera. What is this issue of Tolin B'Shechvat Zera? This is again the third possibility what I discussed in the Mishnah, is that if someone has a sighting of Shechvat Zera, then it actually protects him from any emissions or Ziva admissions. So once you've had a seminal emission, then any Zav emission within a period after this seminal emission is not considered a Zav emission. So if you look in the in the Tosfos Ilema, in the Tosfos Ilema, in the middle of that Tosfos there are two dots. About 2, 4, 5 lines down in the middle of that Tosfos there are two dots, and it says Ela Amar Rav Ada Bar Avo. Right, so it says Ela Amar Rav Ada Bar Avo Lomar Shein Tolimba. What is this Ein Tolimba? The Masechet Zavin, right? And the Masechet Zavin in Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel, which is actually our Mishnah is Perek Beis Mishnah Beis, right? And this is Mishnah Gimel. It says Stan Haru'eh Keri. Someone who has a similar mission, Einu Metamei B'Ziva Kol Me'et Leit. For the next 24 hours, he's not Metamei B'Ziva. Shakeri Poter HaZiva Haba Achareva Kol Me'et Leit. Because a similar mission is exempts all Zivai missions after that point of time. Avav missions niskak l'tum'ah. Once someone is already committed, he's had already two Zivan missions, as Lotif Torshik Mazel to Ziva Bacharel, then it will not help for the Ziva that comes afterwards. Right? So again, this is the third possibility which I said in our Mishnah. Why is Mara and Hirur an issue for Ziva? Is because maybe if you do have a Zivan mission, that will protect you from any Zava mission that took place afterwards. Meaning that if you did have a Shirch Latzera, then any Zav admission in the next 24 hours will not be relevant, right, to the count of the Zav. So now, Rabbi suggests, that's what our Mishnah says, that when do you get that protection? When do you get the protection that carries Poter Ziva? Only prior to becoming a Zav. Meaning that prior to a second Zav emission. But once you've had a second Zav emission, and you are a full-fledged Zav, you no longer get that carry protection. So now the Gemara says, Sabra Papa Kamei de Ravo. So Papa wanted to say in front of Ravo, the Meimra, Aidi Chushahu de Chazi. Right? Is it because of the weakness that he saw it? Meaning that the carry emission weakens his body, and because it weakens his body, that's what allowed the Ziv or the emission to come about. And we said before that you have to have, for the second Zav emission, you need the emission to be Mibsaro, Lomachmat Umso. That's becoming out of your, because of your body's emitting the Zav, and not because of some other external factor. So if it is because of weakness, meaning that because your body is sick, or some sort of weakness with the body, that caused the Zav emission, right, then that is not considered Zav. So it's over here. He said just because the Balkari, the carry weakens the body of the person, since that is Nidroke Gufo, right, weakens the body, excuse me, that's what causes the Zav emission. That causes the Zav emission, that will afford you protection when you are not a Zav yet, but will not afford you protection once you are a full-fledged Zav. Once you're a Zav too, then you don't get this protection. So I'm going to lay Rav. Rav says back to him, Ba'at's not. Gershitz Gayer Mikame Biyad Nisiba. If you have a Gershitz Gayer, a convert that comes in, again, this is in Zavin Perak Bey's Mishnah Gimel, it's the same Mishnah that we just read about the Ziflets there protecting you. There the Mishnah says, if a Goy has a carry emission and then converts immediately, afterwards he converts, and then has a Zavi emission after he's converted, does the Shifat Zer prior to his conversion protect him for the, what? The Zav that comes afterwards, the emission, the Zav emission that comes afterwards. So now, what's the question here? The question is, why does Kerry protect you? Why does Kerry protect you afterwards? So what was Rapapa suggesting? Kerry protects you because of the Hosha, the weakness of the body. If you have weakness in the body, that protects you from the Zav that comes afterwards. So here, a Goy has a seminal mission, he has a carry right before getting, right, converting. And therefore that should protect him from the Ziva that he sees afterwards. Or, even if he didn't have a Zav, he doesn't have a carry emission, maybe he should protect him for something else. The Gemara makes the next statement. Amarlei, ein lecha choli gadol mizeh. There's no choli greater than this. So now, there are two ways to read this Gemara, right? There's two ways to read the Gemara. One way is the way Mefarsh reads the Gemara, and then Tosfos HaRosh reads the Gemara another way, which is this last statement of Ein Lecha Choli Gadol Mizeh, is that part of the question, or is that a answer to the question? So now, say this Ger is Nitzgayer, he converts, and then he has a Zav emission. So now once he has a Zav emission right after he converts, right? Why is it that that Zav counts as Ziva? Right? What is there? Why doesn't his carry from before count? So then Rabba responds to Rabba and says, no. When you convert, there's no greater sickness than when you convert. And what is that? That the Kabbalah's all mitzvot causes a weakness. Lo choli mamash kamar doesn't mean that he's really sick. The choli mamash lo be mitame b'siva. Then he wouldn't really be mitame b'siva. About machmat chusha be'almahu dechaza. Shkin ziva ba m'tsar meit v'lo machmat keri. So then he says there's no greater sickness than becoming a convert. The other way to read it, the way Tosfos reads it, is that this is all part of Rava's question. That's not Gershon Yitzchari Metame B'Yar B'Ziva, Ein Lecha Choli Gadol Mizeh. that here the Zav who is converting, right? You don't have a bigger holy than this that he's converting, and yet his Zav still counts. Meaning that it's all part of Rava's challenge to Rava's position that Pusha causes protects the Ziva from being considered Ziva. Then he quotes him from this Nigershin Geyer. What do you mean? Here you have somebody who is in this state of weakness, and yet his Zav counts as a full fledged Zav. There's no protection from the weakness. That's the, it's all part of Rova's question.
What was Papa getting at with his statement in the first place?
Well, he's trying to determine why is it that Shifa Zera protects you. What is it? What's the reasoning behind Shifa Zera protecting you? And then maybe it has application in other situations.
In other words, why does Shifa Zera protect you when there's no Cheskas Tuma?
Okay.
When there's a Cheskas Tuma, then Raglaim the Dover.
Right, then you already have Raglaim the Dover. But why is Shifa Zera ever a protective means? Because of, he says, because Shifa Zera is Chulsha, and you have Machmas Chulsha, that's not Zav Yitzhara, that's Machmas Chulsha. That's Machmas Chulsha, that's not considered a Zav emission. And then if that's the case, then you doesn't have to just be by carry. It could be other Chulsha, it could be because you're really sick. And if a guy's sick, then he's chalash. And if he's chalash, then he's
an example
of chosha, right. It's not that it is carry, but it's any position that you do. If it's chosha, if it's a physical ailment that protects you, then it's not his halachic status that matters. So if he was sick, if he becomes a ger and he's chosha because of becoming a ger or because he's a sheikh vadera, then that should have application even after he converts. I mean, if it's a halachic problem, that when you see carry beforehand it protects you for zav, then you can understand why the ger is not protected, because he didn't have a halachic status prior to being a ger. Now he does have a halachic status, so whatever happened before is irrelevant, because it's katan shenola dumb, and everything that happened before is irrelevant to him. But if it's because of the physical condition of the person that we say he's protected, then a ger should also be protected, because his being a goy should have no impact on the fact that his physical ailment causes the ziva to come. That's exactly the question of the Gemara here. If you think chosho is a physical issue that's creating, physical issue that is causing the issue, right, if it's a physical ailment that's causing the issue, then it should be even true for a Gershnis Gaya. And the fact that it's not, the Mishnah says otherwise, tells you that chosho can't be the reason. Right? Elot Nagi. It is a machlokes tanayim. Right? What does that mean, a machlokes tanayim? Gemara now rejects Rav Adar Bar Abba. Is rejecting Rav Adar Bar Abba's position here that the whole problem is tolin, the whole problem is Shifa Zera, and with that it also rejects Rav Papa's position that it's caused by Chosha. It's rejecting all that. Elet Sinai, it's a Machos Sinai, goes back to our position before, which is that Shifa Zera is Metame, right, Bimaso. That's what we're going to assume, that our Mishnah, what is it that Shifa Zera is Metame Bimaso? The Tanya, Shifa Zera Shazav Metame Bimaso. Kol Me'it La'it. Shifa Zera is the Tame like a Zabi mission, like Bamasa, for 24 hours. All 24 hours after he has a Zabi mission, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yomo, only for that day. So Mike and Miflegay, what do they argue about? Bid Shmuel, that's a similar way before. They argue about the position of what Shmuel says. The Shmuel, Rami Shmuel, Ktiv. There are two Pesuk. The Pesuk Pesuk says here, I'll read you the Pesukim here in Devarim. The Pesuk of the verse says, Ki teitzai machana loyvecha, v'nishmarta kol dvara. You have a battle, you have to be careful from anything bad happening. What's this bad thing? Ki avacha ish, asher lo yeh tahor, mikrei laila. Right, there's somebody in the machaneh that has a emission at night. V'yatzo michutz lo machaneh, lo yevod l'tocho machaneh. He has to leave the machaneh, not be part of it. So the assumption, the underlying assumption here is that when the Jews go to battle, the Shechina is shored in their machaneh. The Shechina is present there. And therefore someone who's tamei, right, is inappropriate for them to be in the machaneh. And before nightfall, he'll go to a mikvah, and when the sun sets, he'll be able to return to the machaneh. Right? And then it continues over there that you also have to have facilities outside the machaneh because of this. Right, what a level. The go out to battle, the Tamachna has the presence of the Shekhinah there, and therefore we're worried about Tumah. So these Tsukim by too much Shekhmat Zera in the, in the Machna come to teach us what? Tib. Kiyabecha ish asher lo yet tahor. Right, the puzzle says that you have a person who is not tahor. Mikre Laila. That had a emission at night. Before nightfall, he goes and washes in the water. Right? So the one who says Maitlate diet from leaf notes Erev. He learns it out from leaf notes Erev. What is leaf notes Erev? It means that before nightfall he goes to the mikvah. What is before nightfall here? Leaf notes Erev can mean two things. So one, the Mefari says leaf notes means one Erev, and then Erev means another Erev. Because Ufana Hayom. I would say that on Yom Kippur and Ilo, Ufana Hayom. So Fana means is a term that's used for Erev, for evening. So leaf note, Erev means Erev, Erev. So that teaches you me eight legs, right? Or the way the Rush over here gives a different interpretation. He says that the possibility is that the words here are extra. It says Ish Ashaloya Tehor Mikre Laila, right? The Mashma Ashaloya Tehor Bistah. Homashu Tameh Tumah Erev. The Yotimiku goes to me the carry. Then he has a mikre, which is shechwazer, shirah keri, achar ziba. Uchtiv laila miyutar. And then the extra word laila. Shachar ziba yeshu ziba keri, de ziba metamei b'masa. Tanakam, Bechlin, no, there is actually kne hayom, gainu me'idlei. That is for 24 hours. Alright, so the Rosh has a whole limud here in the Pasuk. How do you know that this Pasuk is talking about a case where he had Jiva'a, and then he has a Shechwazer? Because it says, the Pasuk says like this, Kiyevachad Ish Asher Lo Yet Tahar. Why is he not Tahar? That the Torah doesn't tell you. Then he has a Mikre Laila. Aside from being Lo Tahar, he also has a Mikre Laila. Why was he Lo Tahar? Because he was already a Zav. He had one Zav emission. And then he has a Mikre Laila. He has a second emission, which is not a Zav emission, but rather a emission of a Shepherdzera. So then he has to be yourself with Manachane. That emission will also be Tomei, by Elif Noteref. So the question is, that Elif Noteref, when does it mean? Is he Tahor once the day is over, Biyomo, he's Tomei for that day, or Elif Noteref, until the evening falls on the next day? So is it 24 hours, or only for that day itself? So Manor, they thank Elif Noteref. Vida, thank Mikre Lilo. That is that night, but that's it, that day itself, but no more. What does it mean to do with the fact that it says Mikre Laila? Or for the Korea, carry the Machu Balila. He says, no, Mikre Laila is not teaching you anything, but rather, Mikre Laila is just the circumstances in which it happens. That's the normal circumstances under which you have a seminal omission. So based on this, what do you have? The answer is that it's a Zeras HaKatuv. Zeras HaKatuv is that it's Metame B'masa, that Tumas Kari is Nitame B'masa, and Nitame B'masa, how long it's Nitame B'masa, is dependent on this Machlokas Hatanayim over here. And this Machlokas Hatanayim will determine whether it's Nitame B'masa just for the day itself, or for additional 24 hours. So based on that, when it says Shiflet Zero, or Nitame, in our Mishnah, that means that any citing of Shiflet Zero rules will also be Tame B'masa, right? And carrying, even carrying the Shiflet Zera when you're a Zav will be Tamei, not just Maga. And how long that is Tamei for will depend on Mehev Le'et versus Yomo. Right? And then the Rosh adds in over here, the Dafka B'Yisrael. This is only true of Yisrael, Shekeryo Tamei. Avalon Kevachavim, Shekeryo Tahor, Hino, Mitaher HaZiva. Right? That doesn't affect the Ziva. So the Rosh, in the end, also mentions not only is this issue over here, this machlokes tanaim over here, talking about too much maso, but also rejects the decision of Rav Abba, or explains the decision of Rav Abba, that what? That why is it that Kerry protects a Jew and not a non-Jew? And that's because only someone who is in the parsha of Kerry Tamei can be protected by Kerry. A guy seeing a Shiflet Zera has no impact on him. It doesn't have any effect of Tumah on him. Therefore, when he had a seminal mission prior to becoming a convert and joining Klal Yisrael, doesn't help him to protect him when he has a Ziv sighting afterwards. So even though he saw Shiflet Zera, he's still protected. He's not protected by that carry, because that carry was happened when he was a Goy. When he was a Goy, that Shiflet Zera has no impact, is not Mitameh. Whereas for a Jew, when he has Shiflet Zera, it is Mitameh. Since it is Metameh, it also protects you from a Ziv sighting. So that's the Mefarish over here who suggests that what? That this position, this Machlokes Tanaim here, goes back to the issue of Masa, and therefore rejects both Rav Adar Ba'ava and Rav Papa's position over here, because Machlokes Tanaim is about Masa, and our mission is not talking about Tolin, but the issue of Keri. And it's not talking because carried, because of chusha, because that's what Rav Papa's explanation was of why it happened. And our Mishnah discusses what this issue of Sifah Zera is simply about masa, but it doesn't address it. According to the Rush, it also happens to address, or why do we address this Mishnah about why is a goy different than a Jew when it comes to sightings of Shifa Zera, and why it protects or doesn't protect the Ziba, is because whether you have Shechus, the Parsha of Keri, or not. And if you have Shechus, the Parsha of Keri, it protects you from Ziba. If you don't have Shechus, the Parsha of Keri, it does not protect you from Ziba. So that'll be the conclusion of the Gemara. Now back to Shaul mentioned earlier, once you do this, then the sighting of Shifa Zera and Zab together will also have an impact, because whether you saw the Shifa Zera before you saw the Zib or not, has impact. So then it doesn't really matter whether you saw them together or you had them both on your aid. Then it matters simply that you saw Sheikh Madzera. If the person simply saw Sheikh Madzera, then whether we're told or not, right, whether we protect, that protects him from becoming a Zab afterwards will depend if he's Nisqat Katuma or no Nisqat Katuma. So who cares about whether he saw Zib at all? I mean, just having Sheikh Madzera will have an impact on his Sheikh Madzera, and therefore the Rosh, yes. Why does it matter anymore? Why do we need all these cases where it's, what's the Stako anymore? Stako is no better than Badai Shifat Zera. If he sees Badai Shifat Zera, doesn't protect him. What are you worried about? Suffolk Shifat Zera doesn't. Right? If definitely seeing it doesn't protect him, then obviously Suffolk does not protect him. So he doesn't understand it. The Rush leaves us with Sarfion about why the Mishnah has two different categories called Suffolk and Shifat Zera in the end if you explain it this way. And you're right, you can create that Suffolk and Shifat Zera are two different issues. Shifat Zera is talking about whether it's Kutami of Amasa. Suffolk is talking about whether Shifat Zera mixed up with Ziba. But why not just say Shifat Zera period, Vadai, whether it protects you or not is the issue, not whether it's a Suffolk or not. You don't need to get the Suffolk. Even in a Vadai Shifat Zera, you have the same problem. Alright.
Lila isn't included.
No.
Is that Hirho?
Right. Yeah, that would be Hirho or Amara. Right. The seminal omission that comes because of some sort of quaz. Again, the question of why it matters that he had Hirho or Amara, like, why does it matter that he has Shifat Zera? So that's what I tried to mention today, that Shifat Zera might have an impact with regards to the Ziba, as we've seen now. That having it protects you from seeing Ziba. Number two is that when you have Shifat Zera, you do have Tzichus Tzei Ziba, or when it's mixed up with Shifat Zera, it changes the status of how much it's Metame. So all of these things might be impactful if you do have a Ziv emission, and you also had a carry emission. And we have reason to believe that you would have had a carry emission, maybe that impacts on the Zav. All right, Mishnah. New Mishnah, the final Mishnah here in Nazir. I'm going out with the bang. Nazir Hayah Shmuel, Kedivrei Rabbi Narai. And Rabbi Narai says that Shmuel was a Nazir. Shenemar umore lo yala arosho. Right, there will be no morah, no razor will go on his head. Nemar b'shimshon u'morah. Right, it says b'shimshon the term morah is used, the razor, but nemar b'shmuel morah. And also used by Shmuel the term morah is used. Ma morah morah b'shimshon nazir, just like by Shimshon he was a nazir, and that's what it meant, morah lo yavar mosho. Morah morah b'shmuel nazir, so too the restriction against the razor going on his head is referring to Shmuel, makes him into a Nazir also. So that Shmuel was a Nazir, just like Shimshon was a Nazir. Now, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Beloein Morah, Eloshel Basar Badam. Morah does not, he doesn't mean Morah meaning razor, but Morah can be from the word fear, right, from Yirah. This is Yirah. Morah, Oyal Rosho, means that no fear of man will be upon him, that he will fear no man. So that's what the term Morah means. Not that he will not, no razor will touch his head, but no fear will ever come upon his head. So that's what Yosef suggests, the explanation that Shmuel was not a Nazir, but rather he, the status or the statement of Morah Lo Yarosho refers to that he will not fear other humans. So I'm Rabbi Yosef, Elo, Ein Morah, Elo Shabbos Abedam, Malay Rabbi Norai, so Rabbi Norai responds, Lo, Kvo Naramar, Lo, Kvar Naramar, it already says, Vayomer Shmuel, Eich Elech, B'Shamashu, Shmuel says, how will I go and anoint David? Shaul will hear about it, and he'll kill me. Right, so, that sounds like he's pretty afraid of a human being over here. So if the whole Rukh was that he will not be afraid of anybody, here you have evidence that he was afraid of human beings. If he's afraid of human beings, that cannot be the explanation of the Pasuk, So now, Amalei Rab Lechia Brei. Rab says to Lechia's son, Chatuf Ubori. Grab the coastal bracha and be the one who leads the Mizuman, meaning the one who makes the bracha. Lechain Amalei Rabhuna, the Rab of Brei. Rabhuna says the same thing Rab said, Chatuf Ubori. Jump to me, the one who makes the bracha. The Maimra, from this you can see what? The Mavarech Hadith. the one who makes the bracha is indeed really better to be the one who is the mavareh and not the one who's the respondent, right? That it's better to be the actual mavareh. Ba'atanya, we have the famous braisa. Riyoshi Omer, Godolone Amin, you'll tell me not mavareh. Better, the one who says Amin is even greater than the one who is mivareh, makes the bracha. Somebody says, Amalei Rabbi Norai, Yashamayim Kachu. Right, Rabbi Nari says, I can prove it to you, I'll show you that case is true. Kachu. Teda shahad, golarayim mitgarim b'milchama b'kabarim natschim. That the golarayim are seem to be the front troops come in. They're the ones who cause the damage or the noise. I don't know if golarayim are parashim, it sounds like, are the chariots or the horsemen come in and they cause the damage in the game. The Gibarim Natschim, and then the cleanup crew comes in the end, the strong men in the end come in and they finish off the battle. And who gets the victory, who gets the name of the victory is assigned to the Gibarim, those that finish it off, those that complete it. So even though the major work is being done by the Parashim, the horsemen or the chariots that come out front, and the Gibarim are just coming up and doing the cleanup job, nevertheless, they are assigned the victory, because they're the cleanup. So it's over here. The Amein, the one who comes and says Amein, is the cleanup, and if he's the cleanup, he gets the victory, meaning that he's the one who gets Gadol Amein, you'll tell me I'm the Parashim. The cleanup is the one that we assign victories. The Mara says, that actually happens to be a machlokes tanaim, whether the mevareich or the oneh is better. The Tanya. Echad mevareich, echad amein b'mashma. Elish mevareich mevareich tchila. Right, that one who answers the mevareich, one who answers amein, they're both included in the pasuk of Gadol Hashem Iti, right, which is the source for responding to a bracha. Elish mevareich mevareich tchila. That we run to do the bracha first because it sounds like that is what even better. So that's as opposed to the price of Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says that Gadol HaOne Amein Yoter Mina Mivareich. And now we have a price that they use on Rabbi Yossi and says no, that the Onei Amein and Mivareich are both included in the pasuk, but yet the Mivareich is still better. That one should jump or try to do the Mivareich over here. I assume that this Gemara is brought down over here because of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Norai. Right, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Norai were mentioned our mission over here again. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Norai are mentioned as, here they're agreeing, right, that Rabbi Norai and Rabbi Yossi are talking about Gadol HaOne Amein, Yoter Mivareich is Rabbi Yossi's position, Rabbi Norai who brings a support to his position over here. Right, as opposed to our mission where they are disagreeing about the interpretation of Moreh Lo Yochar.
It's supposed to show us that they can really get along even though they disagree.
Right. All right, so now Amar Abelezer finished up Masechet Nazir, Amar Abelezer, Amar Chanina, Tamidei Chachamim, Rabim Shalom Ba'olam, Tamidei Chachamim bring great Shalom to Olam, right? Show that's a nice interpretation, right? That even though Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nari disagreed in the mission, we see that in another place they do agree. Tamidei Chachamim, Rabim Shalom Ba'olam, and this is topical, as Rabbi David spoke on Shabbos, the Tamiya Chachamim are Marbim Shalom Be'olam, or at least we hope they should be Marbim Shalom Be'olam. That should be the paradigm of the Talmud Chacham. Shinemar v'chol b'nayach mut Hashem, v'shom b'nayach atik v'nayach, ela b'nayach. Alright, so that's the ending on a good note here of Masechet Nazir. And we will start up with Sotah tomorrow.